So I'm going to speak about such a fun and exciting message called unbelief.
Okay, fair.
Who was here last Sunday when Luke was mentioning about that man and his son, and he mentioned how that story of that demon-possessed son of that man, he said, "Lord, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief." And then Luke kind of said, like, "Stick up your hands, who relates to that?" And a bunch of us stuck up our hands. Do you guys, who was here for that, do you remember that? I felt to speak a bit more into that. What does it mean? Is it possible to have faith and then still not believe or have some unbelief? And I'll tell you, this message is going to end with, it's going to be hugely encouraging, guys. Like, I'm encouraged. I'm in this at the moment, as Adam said and stuff. I'm in the thick of it. I know some of us, even as elders, even some of those elders in here, I know, are in the thick. We're going through stuff. And I'm going to show us disciples who walked with Jesus who had unbelief too. Guys, it's going to be hugely encouraging. And the point of this is God wants us to make it, eh? He wants us to make it. He's not trying, it's not work and school and companies where they're trying to find a reason to fire us and tell us that we're not making it. God's the opposite of that. Okay, we're ready, we're going to get into it. And the first thing I want to say, unbelief. I think God is okay with us saying these words. Sometimes I'm not sure I believe, man. Sometimes, I'm struggling. And I know for me, necessarily, he gives me a pass and God says, it's okay for you to talk like that. Because I feel like, maybe it's just me, I don't know you, if I say that, isn't that a bad thing? You can't say that you don't believe as a Christian. Like, you're supposed to, you know, there's scriptures like Hebrews 11 verse 6, and it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it feels like sometimes if you don't believe at all times in the most amazing way, bad Christian, there's something wrong with you. You don't believe. And God is okay with us struggling or growing or wrestling with faith and believing him for the impossible. We are these humans walking this earth. Everything is very physical and natural. And then God says, I want you to believe me for the impossible. God, I do, but it's hard. Because the chair is there. And you say, no, I can make the chair go away. I do believe you can, but like, yo. The natural really impacts us a lot. And that's okay, and God is okay with that. Us, and he wants to walk a journey with us so that we do behave like sons and daughters that are made in his image. Okay. Let's get down to it. Would you mind if I prayed for us quickly? God, Father, this topic of faith is not an easy one for us. And because so often, it's because we don't see things the way you see things, Lord. And you do, and you show us, and you give us glimpses. But so often, this walk, believing for the impossible and seeing miraculous things happen in our lives. We read it in the Bible and we hear stories of it often about it, but so often it doesn't seem to be happening in our lives. The supernatural. Our lives often feel so natural, so governed by things in the world. And at the same time, we also know that not to be true. We do believe. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today. Teach us. Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of you, Father, but the Spirit of God? Who knows the mind of us but our spirits? I pray our spirits would connect right now. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us these things. We don't want men's theories. We don't want good ideas or teaching. We want you to reveal to us and tell us the way things truly are so we can see things correctly. If we're not seeing things correctly, show us. Show us. You're the only one who can show us, God. Come and show us, Lord. In your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Let's go then. Okay, so we're going to read these scriptures, and God is going to teach us, and he's still teaching me about faith. Okay, so let's go. Mark 9, verse 14 is the account of that man with a demon-possessed son. So let's go from verse 14. So when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Okay, thanks, Lord. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. This boy is foaming at the mouth. Jesus is a little cheesed off that they don't believe that this demon can come out. I'll deal with you guys. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Foaming at the mouth. Here's the boy. And Jesus goes to the dad. "How long has he been like this for? How long has he been like this for? Cool. Jesus, we can maybe talk later. Just my son's busy foaming at the mouth right now. Can we keep it here?" And he's busy having a sidebar chat with the dad. "How long has he been like this for? What else do you want to know? Do you want to know his ID number or..." And from childhood, he answered, "it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "If I can, take pity on you and help you." What do you mean, "if I can"? We'll get to that just now. "Everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." That's us. "God, I know you can do anything. I believe the Bible. I believe the stories. I've heard amazing things that this life is supernatural and you can do miraculous things. I do believe. But this situation right now, I'm struggling to believe that you're going to do it here." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet and he stood up. And let's not read anymore. Okay. I believe, actually, in that story, Jesus was more concerned with that man and that statement that he made than with his son getting all convulsing on the floor. The crowd started coming, 25, the crowd started kind of rushing to the scene, and I think Jesus actually wanted to have a conversation about this unbelief. And the fact that this guy said, "if you can, show pity on us." Remember when Jesus said, "if I can, for what I want to talk about, why'd you say that?" Anyway, the crowd was coming. Jesus goes, "come out, spirit man, please. Gone, cheers," and then he goes off. I believe that Jesus is more concerned with that man's unbelief and the fact that he made that statement about not being sure if Jesus can than he was about the spirit. Because think about it from his perspective. I can literally do anything, and I do anything. The spirit is nothing. It's nothing. I'm not even concerned. He was actually more concerned that the spirit wasn't out already because the guys didn't cast the demon out. Remember he said, you unbelieving generation? He's like, why am I even having to speak to this? You speak to it yourself. But okay, let's get this thing out. But why are you saying, if I can? Why did you say that? So I don't want to show pity on you, that I can't do this, that I'm not going to take the time. Why would you ever say something like that to me? And that's what we say. God, if you can, can you take the time? Can you show some pity on me? Because I know you're busy and did you have time for me? Why would you say something like that to me? If I can. So the scenario is pretty simple for us guys, and it's pretty simple for me. God can. He does take pity on us. He does care for us, and he does want to do miracles for us. Absolutely does. So just like Jesus seemed more concerned about the statement that that man said, whether God would be willing or take the time or take pity on him, more than he was about the situation, than like in the miracle needed, I believe God is more concerned about us and our faith more than the situations that we find ourselves in. And that is something that is very hard for us. Because us humans, God, I've got to be honest with you, the situation is the focus. No, but I want to talk about your faith. Please, this is a big deal right now. Could you just solve this? And Jesus is trying to speak to our faith. And all we can put in his face constantly is solving my situation, please, Lord. The situation is not the main problem. Do you know what the problem is? Our faith. Because you know what? There's going to be another situation down the road. And when another situation comes, are we going to be in the same boat again? Gain crisis, gain God, gain something else. There's always a situation. Up and down we go. Peace, stress, crisis, happy with the Lord, not happy with the Lord. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And think about it. Think about it from God's perspective. He's like, I know you're going to be up and down from situation, in and out of crisis. Do you know what I would like? A permanent change. A permanent solve. Do you know what a permanent solve is? Your faith. And I think actually God our Father, the reason why I feel like even the Holy Spirit was speaking to Adam and can speak to other guys saying that he's tender, he's not reprimanding us because we don't have a lot of faith. What's wrong with you? Well, he did kind of reprimand them in that scripture saying, unbelieving generation. And he was kind of heavy-handed with his disciples sometimes. How long must I be with you, you little faith? But he's soft towards us. And I just, you know what, as a dad, because he's a dad, I think he's saddened by where we find ourselves. A child of his, made in his image, he looks at us and he sees his image, is walking around this life feeling like God sometimes wants to help him out or doesn't want to help him out. I'm not sure. Sometimes God helps me, sometimes he doesn't help me. I don't know. It's kind of... And we have the statement like, Lord, if you can, please, this time, would you show some pity? And it's like, if I can, who are you talking to? You're talking to some distant father who didn't send his son to die for you. Who are you talking to? Of course I can. And of course I want to. Every single time. If I can. I'm not aloof. Maybe your father was aloof. I'm not aloof. I'm in with you. But then why haven't you solved the situation? Now we're talking. Great question. Great, great question. Why isn't God, every single time we go through a situation, solving it? Huh? God, if you love me, solve my situation. Maths is simple, right? If you love me, don't let me go through anything ever again in pain. That's what we're saying, right? That's what we want. God, if you love me like a father, my life will be amazing all the time, and I will never struggle or go through anything difficult. Guys, let's be honest, that's what we want. I'm so glad he's here. Now, as children, I don't think that's a good idea, guys. Anton, don't say that. I know, I don't want to say that for myself too, trust me. I'm in it at the moment. But God's saying that to me at the moment. God, teach us. Help us to learn something here today. Let's go. Okay. Who here right now has a situation that they're in right now that they're trusting for breakthrough in? Like they want something resolved. My hand's up with you guys. I wish I could hand this mic to God because I want to get preached at this stuff too. So, okay. And you've prayed about the situation. Like you've gone to God saying, God, please solve this, yeah? And it's still unresolved. Have you even prayed with somebody else? You said, you've gone to some mates and you said, guys, can you pray for me? I've got this thing I really need it solved. You've done that too. And it's still unresolved. Ish, okay, let's go. So we might have a little time later. I don't know how the Lord leads and Adam feels. We might even just stand up and get together and pray and bring it to the Lord again. Let's see. But there's something more important, I think you can tell, going on here. I would put this to us, guys. I think God could be allowing the situation to remain unresolved for a period of time to grow our faith. So that we stop going from situation to situation to situation and we remain children who is weak in our faith. Do you know it says, all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed and it turns out you can tell that mountain to go into the sea. Remember that statement? All you need is a small bit. I don't believe God. I believe God was saying, you don't need a lot of faith. You don't need a lot of faith to believe me. But you know what I also want to do? I also want to grow your faith. The exact same way, so we're going to read scriptures, maybe two scriptures now. Also Jesus, where Jesus is allowing, he's not allowing, he's setting up situations for his disciples to grow their faith. Ha! And you know what I'm telling us? Yeah. You know what I'm telling us? I think he's still doing the same thing to this day with us. He's just not walking next to us, Jesus doing it. He's just not walking next to us, Jesus' Holy Spirit is inside us. But he's doing the same thing, guys. He's allowing situations to grow our faith. Please, Lord, don't do that. It's really good that he's doing that. And I trust that we're going to see that it's a good thing. Guys, I'm not saying it's an easy thing. Hear me. It's not easy. If I'm honest with you, the stuff that we're going through now, I think stuff that Adam's going through now, I'm feeling for Merva at the moment. His work is horrific. Like, for some reason, we're going through some things at the moment. Would I prefer not to go through it? Like, 100%. Yeah. It's not nice. God, do I see the significance of what you're doing? Yes, I do. Do what you need to do. I'm going to be better off after this. So let's read what Jesus is doing with his disciples, and I'm going to draw things out for us. Guys, it's going to be hugely encouraging. You're going to see big boys in the faith that you've read about for many, many years with unbelief. Huh? Watch. Check this. Miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Let's go. Luke 6, verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place. Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread, we know the story, and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, 5,000 people." Yeah. "Jesus, we don't have money for 5,000 meals. You know what I'm saying? But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looking up to kind of heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute, and they all ate, and they were satisfied. That was the miracle of the 5,000 from 2 loaves. We know that. So there, what did Jesus do? Jesus, just like casting that demon-possessed child out of that man, just like feeding the 5,000, he didn't want to do the miracle. What did he say? "You do it." Got some faith. 5,000, do you want to just feed them? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yeah, you do it. Go for it. Here we go. You want to go to the shops, you want to go to spa, get the 5,000. You can feed them. Let's read the same story, but in John 6, verse 5. Check this. From verse 5, "When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip," now it's to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus is asking, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat, Philip?" He's being a bit naughty. Look what he's doing. He asked this only to test him. Bro, what are you doing? He goes to Philip, "Come stand next to me." Yes, Jesus. Jesus is interested in our faith, guys. So these people need some food, eh? "Philip, where are we going to get the food from, do you think?" Jesus knew perfectly what he was going to do. Jesus was like, "We're going to feed these guys right now. But I'm keen for Philip to actually feed them. What do you think we should do?" Philip says, "No, we're going to go to the spa." Jesus says, no, you feed them. Can I point something else out? So Jesus tests his disciples. I'm telling you, he's testing us, guys. He's doing things, he's allowing things, knowing full well that we can pass. He's not doing it to take us out. He's doing it because he knows we can pass. He's in full control. So check this. Here is one more point, which is going to be so encouraging. Which when I read, I was like, this is nuts. This is so great. If these guys have unbelief, then I'm great. I'm okay. Here's something else. I'm going to read an account about what these disciples were doing before they came on the scene with the loaves and the 5 fishes. Let me show you what they were doing, and then you're going to freak out. Luke 9, verse 1. Let's go to just before the account of the loaves and the fish. From verse 1. Luke 9, from verse 1. "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, 'Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no food, no money, no shirt. Whatever house you enter in, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them.' So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere." Okay, wait. Hold on. Okay, wait. So just before the miracle of the 5,000, where Jesus just did that thing, these disciples came from a period of time where they went from village to village healing the sick, and they didn't even go with a bag, money, or anything on their back. The disciples, guys, I'm freaking out. The disciples, Jesus said, leave, go from town to town, go with the clothes on your back. No bag, no money, no food, no extra clothes, and you'll be looked after. That's where they just came from. So you're telling me The fish was too much. So the fish you don't believe for. You got a problem with the fish. You just healing people. You didn't have any money and clothes on your back and God just started doing stuff. But the fish you got no faith for. Huh? But these guys had faith, guys. They weren't just pulled off the beach suddenly and started walking with Jesus for kind of 2 weeks. They had been performing and been walking in faith, instructed by Jesus himself. They had seen healings. These guys themselves had seen miracles. They were doing miracles. They were walking in a miracle. But the fish was too much. I can't believe for the fish. Okay, but so you're going to heal that dude's leg, but the fish is too much to believe for. Guys, don't we do the same thing? For some reason, us human beings, there's some stuff that we can trust and believe God for, but for some reason, there's some other things we just can't. It's too much. We have faith, but at times, we have some unbelief. The disciples did, and we do too. Yes. It's okay. It's okay. Do you know what I mean? It's okay. And I want to say to us, thank you, God, for this in the Bible, for these disciples. He's put it there. Do you know what? To encourage us and say, you believe God, but at times you don't. And that makes you sad. But that's okay. I want to encourage your faith. I want to let you go through something so that little faith that makes you wobble is going to get strengthened. And this is for all of us. So I don't know what we're going to do after this, to be honest. But I want to leave us with like 3 or 4 parting nuggets. Because how many of you know, like, this Christian walk is certainly not lived here on a Sunday morning. Man alive. This is like do you guys watch F1? The race around the tracks? Our Christian walk is us in the car racing on the track. And every now and again, the Bible says it's really good to not forsake the gathering of the saints. And we make some pit stops every now and again. Church on a Sunday, community. But we're in the race, man. We're in the race. And God's talking to us on the phone saying, like, left here, left here. No, I want to go right. And you should really go left. Right. No, okay. And then we get to pit stop. And this is a little pit stop for us right now. And I'm trusting for us, for me, that the Holy Spirit and God is giving us what we need to stay on that race and just to win this thing because he wants us to win. And I want to leave us with just a couple of things. One, if we haven't got this already, I think we can clearly see it's okay for us to struggle with unbelief and still have faith just like the disciples did. Can we settle that? Did you get that? Was that pretty clear? It is okay for us to have some unbelief. And it doesn't mean we're terrible. But let's stay in it. And let's be like that guy, God, help me with my unbelief. And it's okay to kind of sometimes, you have maybe even experienced that you trusted God for some stuff in the past and you've seen it come through. Maybe some of you have seen some miraculous stuff. Who's felt some miraculous stuff in the Lord in the past, in their life? Like it's not, I'm not saying it's stories. You know it to be true. Like you know God did some stuff, no doubt. But then you still struggle right now with some unbelief. It's that weird tension. That's okay. That tension's okay. Jesus is not cross with us. And then we want to draw from that statement that Jesus said, if I can. Guys, let's just learn from that piece of scripture, and I'm feeling in the Lord now too. Don't you ever, 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 ever say, God, if you care or if you want to, show some pity on me. Don't you ever say that about your Father. Who is he? If he cares, if he loves you, if he wants to do a miracle in your life, if he wants to show you pity, of course he does. Don't ever say that. It's what a terrible thing to say about your dad who loves you, questioning if he's got some time for you or if he cares about your situation. Like he's like, who are you talking to? You don't say that to him. He loves you too much for that. And I know sometimes the situation is difficult. And it feels like to you that God doesn't care. But that's not true. And I know you got questions like, but God, if you love me, you would sort this out. I don't understand. I'm just asking this. It's okay to say that you don't understand. That's okay. But don't say that he doesn't care. And don't say that he doesn't want to change your life. For some of you, God, last one, for some of you, God is going to come through quickly and you're going to have your miracle. Like he'll solve it. Can I use your example of the work thing? Is it cool? So there was a little situation ages ago, quite a while ago, and he started a new business, got some clients, and as businesses go, he lost some clients. And losing a couple of clients is like no money in the bank. There was no buffer for losing clients. Huh? Before he got married. Oh, yeah, it was terrible, bro. Dude, he wasn't even married yet. He was about to get, he was like 2 weeks away. Oh, my word. Okay, because you quickly. 1 week away from getting married, he loses clients. Like, I'd like to go into a house, I'd like to maybe pay for the rent, and I'd like to be married. God, is that okay? 1 week before. 1 week before. What's up with that? We go around, I'm like, yo, this sucks. What did I say? I said, we were in your house, and I said, oh, I know what I said. I remember I said, this is a setup. Remember? We were in the kitchen, I said, nah, this smells like God, bro. No, dude. Nah, you're being set up, dude. 100%. Like, what's the chance of a week before you get married, suddenly you lose a client? Nah, this is God. He's totally allowing this. He's like, great, thanks. That's super encouraging. And then it's sorted out and you got clients and you're doing great. So, like, do you think your faith grew in that? Really? Don't just say it because I'm... Really? Really, really? No, but like...
Yeah. No, all good, yeah. No, I think it definitely grew my faith. I don't think I would just say that. We were in our wedding in this sort of season. And I didn't know how we were going to come back. And then I had like 3 days before I had to pay rent and do all these things. Yeah. And it was like, okay, God, how am I going to do this? And obviously, we're going to go on honeymoon now. And the last thing I want to think about is finances. And just felt the Lord say, like, it's a setup, you know, pretty much what Anton said. And got back. And I think the next day, two clients phoned me and said, listen, like, we've been looking for something like you, and where can we sign? So this was like 3 days before I had to pay all these things. So definitely, definitely the faith grew. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think in the moment, I was like, yo, I don't know if this is going to work. But yeah, definitely. I mean, there's no ways it would have happened without God. So I think when something so miraculous happens, I think it's difficult for your faith not to grow, you know? No.
So for some of us, that miracle is going to happen for us, just like that. For me, that was such an example of God just lying a certain amount of testing. And he's going like this, cool, I'm just going to time it. And 3 days, and that's enough. Okay, clients come through. Okay, done. He's just, it's on a timer, like, and testing. But God, it's like 3 days on my hat. I'm going to die. Everything's dead. I'm just got married. Okay, solved. Whew, why'd you do that? What was that about? Wow, my gosh, that was terrible. What was that? Why'd you do that? I know it was terrible. Just bear with me here. Look at me, my boy. How do you feel? Did your faith grow? Actually, yeah, that's cool. Awesome. That's what it's about. So for some of us, God is going to do that miracle for us in whatever time frame. For others of us, it takes a little longer, okay? I don't know if you've got control of the time, but I want to say this to us. God has got his timer on it. I'm telling you. If I can, more than I can, I'm setting you up. I've got a timer on it. I'm letting it go, and I'm going to call it when it's just enough. And you know what's going to happen when you come out of that with me? Gym faith. Your faith is going to grow. Last one. God, let's stop treating God like some miracle vending machine. He's relational. He invented the thing. You know, the whole marriage and the intimacy thing? His invention. He's relational. And I think some of us, when we're in a crisis, me included, when the thing is so hot and the pain is so real and the discomfort is so real and stressful, I actually don't want a relationship, God. Just peace solve it right now. Like, I'll get relational just now. Just like, geez, to make the pain go away. And we just treat him like and we'll do anything to get out of the situation. We'll do anything. And God's like, the way through is bring me close. And ask me. And I want to say this to us. For some of us, while we're in it right now, I'm in it with you. Last week, I was too many times that I'd like to admit. Even mentioning to Adam on the pavement outside my house the other day, there's too many times I'd like to admit that I just wanted him to solve it. Oh, God, please. I'm tired of it. This is hard. I'm stressing. And my faith was wavering, man, as early as last week. Guys, I'm meant to be a professional Christian. I'm like kind of leader in the church and stuff. It's not a great look, you know what I mean? At least the disciples went through it. Okay, so that's okay. So the disciples went through it. We're allowed to go through this. And when you're going through it, God is a relational God. Draw closer to him. You can say that you want it solved. Draw closer to him. Come to him. Because he cares and he loves us and he takes pity on us and he's very concerned. And we know that his test is on a timer. It's not going to last. There's a purpose to it. And let him speak to us about how he wants to grow our faith. Let him speak to us. Remember, Jesus had to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. It's better that he goes than he comes. And he wants to speak to us about our faith. And you know what he's been saying to me sometimes? And he's probably going to say something to you. You know what he's going to do? Oh, this is tough. He's going to encourage you, and he's going to say that everything's okay when it's not yet. You know what he's going to say to you? I got you. We're going to do this. But God, nothing's changed yet. Why are you saying that? Because I've got you. And we're growing your faith. Okay.